Another benefit of such mental training emerges from the close connection between body and mind. When you are young and physically fit, your mind is powerful. It is particularly valuable to begin training then, so that as you age, your mind stays fresh and positive through the body's changes. After all, the human brain is a special endowment, and it would be a pity to let it weaken through neglect, surrendering its powers to age until, animal-like, its only job is to take care of the body. For practitioners, early mental training, and especially concentration on the mind, is important preparation for the final day, when your mind must remain clear and sharp to make use of the special techniques during the stages of death, or at least to influence rebirth into the next life. Dullness of mind at this critical point can be very dangerous. A real guarantee for a good rebirth is to be able to conduct your practice during the stages of dying. Your state of mind just before rebirth is influential in determining the character of your next life. You may have accumulated great merit in your life, but if you leave it with a dull mind, you jeopardize the form your next life will take. On the other hand, even if you committed some regrettable deeds in your lifetime, when the final day comes, if you are prepared and determined to use that occasion to the fullest, your next rebirth will definitely be good. Therefore, strive to train the mind to be fresh, alert, and sharp. In difficult situations, it is easy to become emotionally worked up. Buddhism offers many techniques for relieving stress and finding calm in the trying situations we face every day. These techniques vary according to the situation and the person. It is particularly effective to use the power of analytical meditation to address problems directly rather than trying to avoid them. Here are some examples of this technique. When you are confronted with trouble, do whatever you can to overcome it. But if it is insurmountable, then reflect on the fact that this trouble is due to your own actions in this or a previous life. Understanding that suffering comes from karma will bring some peace, as it reveals that life is not unjust. Otherwise, sorrow and pain might seem to be meaningless. Initially, a problem can seem solid and intractable until you investigate its true nature. To do this, work at understanding the range of suffering in your own life. Ordinary mind and body have a nature of suffering, just as it is the nature of fire to be hot and burning. In the same way we have learned how to work with the nature of fire, we can learn how to work with suffering in our own lives. Consider trouble from a broader perspective. If someone accuses you, rather than lashing back, imagine that this accusation loosens the chains of your own self-cherishing and thereby enhances your ability to care for others. Reframe bad circumstances as forces assisting your spiritual development. This technique is difficult to implement, but very powerful when you succeed. When you are jealous or wish harm on an enemy, instead of stewing over that person's bad qualities, reflect on his or her good attributes. Most people are a mixture of good and bad qualities. It is hard to find anyone who is bad in all respects. Reflect on the emptiness of inherent existence. This is the deepest analytical meditation and something I will explore shortly. Or you can use stabilizing meditation for a temporary rest. If you cannot stop worrying over something in the past or what might happen in the future, shift your focus to the inhalation and exhalation of your breath. Or recite this mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. Since the mind cannot concentrate on two things simultaneously, either of these two stabilizing meditations will cause the former worry to fade. It seems to me that all religions could benefit from Buddhist meditation techniques. Single-minded concentration could be applied usefully in many situations. In all walks of life, we can benefit from focusing the mind and increasing memory.